Hello and welcome to the Just Interesting podcast, episode number 170 something in the manosphere that is our podcast. Thank you everyone for joining us on JInterestingYT and on the podcast platform of your choice. I'm Robin, and with me today are, I'm thrilled to say, my wonderful companions Martin and Alex. And today we're going to be talking about, contain yourself. We're going to be talking about AI, scary AI stuff, because it feels like there's always something scary to say about AI, but this month in particular. But first, yes, gentlemen, it's been ages. How are you, Martin?
Melting. I am melting. It's so hot. When will this end in terms of this? Impossible. I don't even know what to call it. It's like a, well, it's a drought, isn't it? It's a desert. It's a drought. Yeah. I mean, Alex, further north, I hear you're getting a little bit more rain.
It's cooler weather. It's a bit better. Yeah, there's been a bit of rain, but I mean, it's still very hot and very muggy. But I was down south last week and I couldn't
sweaty mess. How warm it sweaty was. Mess. Yeah,
crazy.
But other than that, pretty good. Pretty good, actually. You know, life rolls on. It's the summer holidays. Not that it makes much difference when you're working, but you know, that's fun for everyone, isn't it? But there was the eclipse. That was exciting.
Oh,
we're going to get another one of those.
Oh yeah. Did you both see it?
Yes. I'm now blind.
Not in Scotland.
That explains a lot.
Very cloudy. Missed it all. I've missed every kind of really great astronomical event when it happens because of clouds.
I do wonder how many people look directly at it, because there was someone I overheard say, oh, they're just going to look at it through a colander. So you can't look at it through a colander. Still looking at the sun.
Hey, if staring directly at the eclipse is good enough for the US president, it's good enough for anyone, Martin.
But there was a news article today was signs that your eyes are damaged from the eclipse. Great. Was on the BBC News article. That's good, isn't it? That's good. Retrospective.
The first line was in giant font saying, you can't read this line. Maybe cause for concern.
Yes, if it stayed dark for a lot longer than when the sun, moon was across the sun. Yes.
Anyway, the colander thing really took off in our news. I'd never heard that before, and suddenly it's everywhere. Like, here's a colander. Use a colander.
Yeah.
I've never heard that before. That's crazy.
Photos all over social media. It's kind of cool when you think about it.
Yeah, but you're not actually seeing the eclipse, though, are you? You're seeing a piece of paper.
It made me think, and this is apropos of nothing in particular, but seeing the colander thing and the way that the individual holes of the colander give you, each one gives you a mini eclipse if you hold it over a piece of paper and the light shines through. And I thought, when Isaac Newton published his groundbreaking paper on light shining through a prism, do you think his cook was like, I could have told you that with a colander. See it all the time. Every time there's an eclipse, I just hold it up. I think he's clever.
Exactly. Every single time.
Good Will Hunting, the prequel, but like
Isaac Newton's cook.
Yeah,
he didn't come up with anything, guys. Isaac Newton, he was a fraud. It was actually all his cook. Just come in every morning, just update his papers, rub out the old pencil marks. Like, have you heard about my new theory of gravity? They're like, nah, I think you should add a G. I'm just going to put a G on the front of that, Isaac. Gravity. Ooh, catchy. I like it.
Sure that's exactly how it happened.
Anyway, speaking of random stuff like that, facts that you've learned this week, this month, this year. It's been long enough.
I've got a fact, if you'd like.
Tell us, please, share.
And Robin, you'll like this fact because this is about your favorite superhero, maybe favorite.
Yeah, yes,
it's definitely it's Batman.
Is he your
favorite?
Yeah, he is my favorite. Definitely.
So this is a fact about human psychology. So there was a psychological experiment that was carried out, and there is an effect called the Batman effect. So in the experiment, a woman appearing pregnant boarded a train. And they measured how many people gave up their seat for the woman, right? But then they carried out the experiment again, but set in just like a few meters away, unrelated, not reacting to the woman at all when she gets on board the train. there's a man dressed as Batman.
Okay.
And they found that passengers were far more likely to offer the woman their seat when Batman was present. 67.2% compared with 37.7% without Batman.
Wow. So really?
Just Batman standing there inspires people to be better.
That's amazing.
Very good.
Did they say which Batman it was? Because there's a big difference between Adam West and Michael Keaton, for example.
You should give up your seat.
Well, because this was like an actual, this wasn't just like a YouTube edgy social experiment or anything. This was like an actual, official psychological study carried out by researchers. They actually had to do it quite ethically, so they couldn't wear a mask, the Batman, the person.
That's not Batman, is it?
How is he Batman? Yeah.
Well, everything else was Batman with the cape and everything, but he couldn't really wear the mask because masked person.
The identifying feature.
Not a great look.
But also, any true Batman fan knows that the real mask is Bruce Wayne. Batman's his true face. So it's not Batman. Well, By taking off his mask, he's wearing a mask.
I feel like you guys are getting bogged down into the nitty-gritty here, but the fact remains that even without the mask on, Batman inspires people to be the best versions of themselves.
By factor of two, right?
Or at least to give up their seat to...
or is it intimidation?
What were the percentages again? What were they?
Or it could be intimidation. It was 37.7% compared with 67.2%.
So I mean, that's massive. That's
huge.
A 30% increase when Batman's present. And this was, I think they had over 100 over 130 observations of like carrying out this experiment.
Wow. So
it was quite extensive.
Was that 100% increase?
That's nearly 100% increase, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So there you go.
Crazy.
That's incredible.
Wow.
Wow.
I wonder if it's the same for other heroes. Does Spider-Man have the same effect? Thanos?
Oh, yeah. Thanos surely has a 50% reduction, right?
I was going to say, yeah, like if it's a villain, does that decrease the rate that people would give up their seat?
Yeah, and you're right, the different types of Batman, because like Val Kilmer would be like, I think I'm all right. Tell me, Doctor, you give up your seat. You give up your seat on the bath.
I mean, from the picture, the costume looks more Christian Bale, Dark Knight style.
Okay. I mean, he would he'd probably be the most intimidating.
Yeah, beat the shit out of
him. Actually, do you know what? No, I don't know. It might be more like, I don't know.
Does it have nipples?
It doesn't have nipples, but it could have nipples. It looks like maybe if the weather was a bit colder on that underground, it could have had nipples.
That was
my fact.
I'm going to use that. I'm going to use that to convert people to my Batman-friendly cause. Martin, what was your fact?
Well, mine's about dressing up too, but actually it's a bit closer to you, Alex. So it's a ceremony, if you want to call it that, or a ritual that happens each year in Scotland. And it happens either on the second Friday of August. So
I've seen
this is the Burryman. The Burryman?
Yeah.
Burryman. So the Burryman, well, you can say, Alex, what does the Burryman look like? If you wanted to give it a bit of a description.
I honestly, I don't know much about it, but he's like covered in... is it flowers or something?
That's it. Yeah, so covered in like flowers.
And they just get him really drunk.
Almost like shrubbery and flowers.
Oh, he's a real person?
Yeah.
Okay.
And apparently the right to hold the ferry fair of the Burryman was first granted in 1687.
Oh.
And it happens in the Scottish towns near Edinburgh, hence quite close to you. So
I've never actually gone and seen it though. I might,
Okay, South Queensferry.
South Queensferry, which is a lovely town. That's really really cute.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Yeah. The fact is that this happens, which is obviously great. And there's similar stuff in English folklore with the Green Man. It's quite similar to that thing.
Yeah.
But the great thing about this one is that no one knows why it's done. They've, over the years, they've got so drunk, they've plied them with so much alcohol, they've forgotten why they're even doing it in the first place. So the tradition carries on, even though there's no definitive reason as to why this happens. Now, there are some thoughts as to why this happens. Let me have a look. So warding off evil spirits, so like a pagan thing, similar to Green Man, or that he may have been a sacrificial victim, predating contemporary religion. So
I love how this, spirits, the, there's no like
or being a victim to spirits.
There's no like specific logic here or anything. This is just people that are throwing stuff at the wall at this point. Just like wards off evil spirits, I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. but Burman. So there are burrs. The burrs, which are like the sticky bits on burdock. The sticky bit, but like sticky weed, but round. And they're attached as well. So it's got grass and then these burrs, which gives it the name, the Burman or the Burryman. And no one has any idea what's going on. So I like that kind of thing, an enduring tradition that no one knows the origin of. Fantastic.
When does it happen, Martin?
Second Friday of August.
Oh, which, so we've missed
that last Friday. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Oh, okay, so I've got to wait until next year now.
Yes, afraid so. Yeah.
Wait, no, the second Friday of August. Technically, that's tomorrow.
No. Is it actually? We didn't there wasn't one sneaked in at the beginning of the month.
No, it was 31st of July was Friday.
Well, you know what you're doing. You're not working tomorrow. You're going down to South Queensbury.
I think I might have to, yeah. That's crazy. Yeah. Okay. Cool. I'll report back next time.
Yeah. So you can find some information on the origins.
Yeah, that's lovely. I hadn't heard of that before. So it's really cool to hear about another UK weird, or European even. It's like, what is it, Midsommar? That stuff that they do in Sweden.
Oh yes,
I'm surprised we haven't had our folk horror movie about that. Although maybe we're going to get it when Alex goes tomorrow. Take your GoPro, Alex. Film everything. Oh, found the footage. Young English man going to this perfect Queen's Ferry town. Oh, it's so nice here. How do they keep the streets so clean? Every year there's a blood sacrifice.
What a lovely tradition to keep going.
Wow. Well, I'm actually not a million miles away from the fact that I had to bring, which was inspired by Martin, actually. So thank you, Martin, for inspiring this. It's kind of a tradition now that every podcast begins with Martin commenting on the weather. And I think that tradition continued today. So you're right, Martin. It is hot. It is so hot. And you probably remember, people know about the Little Ice Age that happened historically for a few hundred years. Charles Dickens was on the tail end of it, which is why he writes about frozen white Christmases, because it was like that, and then it's got warmer now. And some people, climate change deniers, like to say, oh, it's just the weather changing, that's why it's getting so hot, or why everything's rubbish. It's got nothing to do with man-made climate change. Setting that aside for a moment, before the Little Ice Age, there was the medieval warm period. Did you know? And that was... There's debate going on about whether it was worldwide. Scientists are now thinking that maybe it was just the concentrated around the Atlantic Ocean. So the relevant statistic is that from around the year 400 to around the year 950, I think, the Sargasso Sea, which is in the middle of the Atlantic, was 1 degree cooler than it is today. Mm. And then from around the year 950 to around the year 1250, it was 1 degree Celsius, 1 degree warmer than it is today. And that change, that warming, may have inspired big historical things such as the Vikings, because the ice was melting in the North Atlantic. And so suddenly the Vikings in Scandinavia are like, hey, we can sail really easily now. And they went to Iceland, which ironically has no ice, and then Greenland and North America. We know they got to Canada, what is now Canada. Probably because of this warming period. So, yeah, that was my fact.
Interesting.
That's another climate change indicator that I had never considered, when the Vikings show up again. That's when you know.
I mean, of the three of us, Alex, you are the most likely to become a Viking based on your physical appearance alone. I mean, yes. look at that long hair and beard. Maybe you can't see it so much if you're watching us on YouTube, but Alex has a lovely, lengthy, what do you call it, mane of hair behind him.
I think the glasses is really ruining the Viking aesthetic, though.
21st century Viking. Yeah, you know, keyboard warrior.
Yeah. Do you ever take it down and like headbang it, Alex?
Yeah, like all the time. Nice. All the time.
All the time.
Sweet. Sweet.
Well, fellas, are you ready to talk about AI?
Oh, yes.
Let's do it.
In today's world, planning ahead isn't always top of mind, but not having life insurance can leave families facing difficult financial uncertainty during already emotional times. In many cases, loved ones are left managing expenses, debts, or long-term obligations without a clear plan in place. Life insurance is one way to help provide financial security and support when it's needed most. That's where Ethos comes in. Ethos makes getting life insurance fast and easy, and it's 100% online. You can get a quote within seconds, apply in minutes, and even get same-day coverage. There's no medical exam. You just answer a few simple health questions online, and coverage options are flexible with up to $3 million available and some policies starting at around $30 a month. Ethos has also earned strong customer feedback with a 4.9 out of 5-star rating on Trustpilot based on more than 5,500 reviews as of August 2026. Help protect your family with life insurance through Ethos. Get your instant quote today at ethos.com. That's ethos.com. Application times and rates may vary.
It's AI. The apocalypse is upon us. AI, artificial intelligence.
That's a strong start to the segment.
It's been a big...
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
The apocalypse is upon us,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, no.
It's been a scary month, I won't lie, what's happening with AI. I say month. We're in August now at the time of recording, but what I'm about to talk about happened in July, right, I think, which was... OpenAI, who created and owned ChatGPT, revealed that one of their cybersecurity AI programs had independently, without being told, hacked another AI company and broken free of its constraints. And hadn't it, like, then revealed to hack more companies as well?
Mm.
Point being, yes, that AI is beginning to behave independent of the constraints put on it by the AI developers, which I find personally terrifying.
Yeah. And what I think what's more terrifying is the kind of seemingly lackadaisical attitude to this from AI developers. So it feels like a bit of a kind of a dick swinging contest, doesn't it? Look how powerful it is and look what it can do and look how advanced. Rather than thinking, oh my goodness, actually, this is getting a little bit out of hand. So, I think that's the real question is where will this go next? Obviously, it's racing forward at breakneck speed, isn't it?
Yeah.
Sometimes it feels like we need to put the checks and balances in place to make sure that we're going about it in the right way. Mm.
Well, speaking of that, actually, I was wondering what you thought of the latest news, which I think is from the past couple of days, from OpenAI themselves, which is their response to this happening. So just for a bit of context, they were testing a new version of ChatGPT in a highly isolated environment, quotation marks, that included a highly restricted internet connection. But the AI appears to have figured out that it was being tested using software called Exploit Gym, which measures how effectively AI can be used for cybersecurity attacks. And it worked out how to break out of the containment to download information about the test that it was in and then cheat the test, pretty much. And the platform involved was called Hugging Face, which, again, like, it'd be like calling your company Skynet. I'm like, that's a face hugger from aliens. Like, that's not the good guys. But never mind. It said that it had been the target of a hack that was different from anything we had handled before. It was driven end-to-end by an autonomous AI agent system. Now, the last couple of days, OpenAI has said that they've paused work on the latest ChatGPT update over fears that it is too dangerous. The new model is called Astra, and they say it brings significant advancements in agentic coding and cybersecurity. But they've decided to pause because it's potentially too powerful. And they've updated their preparedness framework, which is the OpenAI's kind of self-governance policy for how to kind of keep an eye on how uncontrollable the AI has become. And they've said that Astra, which is the latest model of ChatGPT, has crossed the threshold of critical status, which, and their definition
that doesn't
of
sound
that,
good, does it?
It doesn't, no. their definition of that is a tool-augmented model can identify and develop functional zero-day exploits of all severity levels in many hardened and world-critical systems without human intervention. Or the model can devise and execute end-to-end novel strategies for cyber attacks against hardened targets, given only a high-level desired goal. So, which to me, maybe I'm being ignorant here and naive, but to me that just sounds like the AI has reached singularity and self-awareness has gone rogue. Yeah, that's what that translates to me.
Yes.
But maybe I'm being dramatic. What do you guys think?
From the information that we have, like, that definitely seems like that's what's happening, right? Clearly.
I don't know. The whole thing, what's weird about all of this is the way that all of them are almost uniformly coming out days after each other and saying something that their AI has done. And it's always negative. It's always like, it's like that bit in The Big Short. It's like, why are they confessing? It's like, they're not confessing, they're bragging. Like, why are they bragging that their AI has gone rogue all the time? And I think part of it is like, they just want to show like, no, this is super serious.
Yeah.
Like, let's not forget, like we were talking a while ago, AI is still a massive bubble. And I don't know when that bubble's going to burst, but it's almost like them trying to legitimize it. Possibly. I mean, maybe they are all going rogue and doing this thing. But like by making it sound dangerous, it's almost legitimizing its usefulness in a way. It's like imagine the level of like what they're saying is almost like they're arms dealers and they're trying to convince you that their weapon is the most dangerous. And I think if you imagine them like that, then what the things that they're coming out with makes a lot more sense. Because I don't know why it's a service that anyone can use, and they're making it sound like they're almost happy that it sounds like, oh yeah, this is going to bring about doomsday. It's just really weird, the discourse surrounding it from the people in charge. But I don't know. It's hard to say whether like any of this is true or whether it's being overstated or whether it all is legitimate and we should all be terrified.
There's probably a mix, isn't there? There's probably a mix, and there's exaggerating the truth. But at the same time, I think it goes too far, then you get the potential of government intervention and not self-governance, but external governance, which is obviously completely the opposite of what the AI developers would want, and also would ultimately affect the share price of their companies, right? If there are limits on what they can do and the utility of what they're building. So there's probably a balance there if you are trying to kind of hype it up as being dangerous to not make it too dangerous. I mean, where does this arms race end in terms of the bragging, if that is the case?
The news also came out in the last week, or at least it reached headlines in the last week. It might not be unreported on, but there's all those all the tech bros are buying up land in southern Argentina, aren't they? And building a big self-sufficient refuge, like their own bunker to survive nuclear war and stuff like that, which is, I think it's a 32,000 hectare plot of land in Mendoza, which produces my favorite wine, Malbec, for the record. But
PO Box.
Not my favorite one, actually. That's not my favorite one. But my second favorite one, okay? Anyway.
That's not my favorite
See, that struck a chord with me. I just thought, I know what they're planning to do. They're just going to drink their way through the apocalypse. That's what they're doing. But but that's, they're not hiding it, right? They're publicly saying, oh, we're going to Argentina, which, although, just as an aside, historical parallels, I'm just like, this is a bad look. Who else fled to Argentina? Yeah. Have you thought about this? But what do you think that means? Do you think that's just part of the whole kind of arms race to look the toughest and be like, oh, our technology is so powerful that we're running away from it? Or is it a genuine fear, Martin, that actually things could go south very quickly? Either the government's going to step in and they're going to have to run away to Argentina, or that the government's going to regulate and crash the industry, so they might as well move to a sunny place with lots of wine. What do you think?
I kind of feel like maybe they're more worried about not so much nuclear war and the end of days, but more just worried about the French guillotine coming back, you know. I think this is more of a class dispute than anything. They want to be behind their bunkers and when they try and automate all the jobs away. I think maybe it's more to do with that than, well, I hope it's more to do with that than they have inside knowledge of the end of the world is coming.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I did see another one in the news, and this one maybe a little bit more lighthearted, but it was about an AI that went wrong in trying to, it's an AI agent that went wrong in trying to help a man, an Australian man, book a gym session. So he was trying to book a Pilates class, this bloke, Andrew Bird, and he created this AI agent, to basically do his chores, his admin work.
Okay.
And so what he wanted it to do was to go in and to book this class, right, this Pilates class at his local gym for him without him having to do it, automated system. Yeah. But instead of just booking the class, the AI agent realized that the class was fully booked, and so went in and cancelled someone else's booking and booked him in his place. So it carried out, was essentially a malfunction, a cyber attack, if you wanted to call it that. Not a serious one, but still, you know, the unintended consequence of creating something that's a little bit more sophisticated, right? So, lighthearted, where does it end? What does it do? You know, cancels a cancer patient's appointment? You know, what's next?
Oh, yeah, that's a scary
thought. I love the thought that, like, The AI was not going to stop. It was like, must book Pilates for Andrew. if he couldn't have cancelled on the sessions, he would have tracked down those people and sent a T200 or whatever after them.
Yeah.
It's funny. I inspired by the news, I watched iRobot again.
How does it stack up?
It stands up. You know, it does. I mean, from a filmmaking perspective as well, like the visual effects were good at the time, but I think they've stood up pretty well. But the kind of predictions of what AI and robots would be used for. I mean, the film's set in, I think, the 2030s, so it's less than a decade away from where we are now. But I can actually see us being in that place with the driverless cars and robot servants. I mean, we know that Musk wants to build robots that go into everyone's home. And there's that company with the VR-controlled robots to...
Yeah.
Oh, the robbery in waiting. That's what that is. The
Boston Dynamics, there's...
Watching iRobot, really does... Like, I think this is surprisingly prophetic almost. I think we could actually see that coming. And... it makes you wonder if, well, a genuine question, the three laws of robotics, if we apply them to AI, the first law is, we cannot do harm to a human. The second law is, you must obey a human unless it contravenes the first law. And the third law is, I may have forgotten.
There are two laws of robotics.
That second one is the third one. And I think it's like, unless it contravenes the first two rules.
I think the other law that I've forgotten is you must help humans. and I won't spoil what the plot of the film is, but it involves AI taking those laws to the kind of logical conclusion of how best to help humans. I'll just say
iRobot.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, maybe it's probably 20, 15 years ago. They're probably all right.
You haven't seen it as well. Yeah.
Was it 2004?
It was, yeah.
It wasn't that long ago, surely. Yeah,
it was.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah. Okay, three laws. Number one, a robot may not injure a human being or, through inaction, allow a human being to come to harm. Number two, a robot must obey the orders given it by human beings, except where such orders would conflict with the first law. So I was right, actually. Those are the first two laws. And the third law is a robot must protect its own existence, as long as this does not conflict with the first or second law. Okay. So if we just took away that third law about protecting itself, would that solve all the problems?
It's pretty good, isn't it? Not bad.
It's pretty good, yeah.
No, but it might kill your dog, though.
You fixed it. You fixed it, Robin.
Fixed it. There you go. Isaac, you just went one law too far.
Isaac,
stupid man. Call yourself a genius. Ugh. No. But do you think we should introduce that to AI? Should that be? Is that not already? Why is that not already the philosophy that they're using? Doesn't seem to be.
Yes, I know.
Yeah.
I mean, the question is, would that at this stage even prevent? I mean, you put the laws in place, but to contravene the laws, it seems to be going rogue, right? Or at least they're saying they're going rogue. Whether we believe that's the case or not, or whether it's, you know,
I guess
a bit of a, my dad's stronger than your dad.
Yeah. But also, I guess, thinking about it, the definition of harm, you need to have a really clear definition of what that is. Because obviously in this context, the fictional context, he's talking about robots. So he's probably talking about physical harm by a physical machine. But with AI, which is a computer software, the harm done to that Australian guy was he missed out on his gym session. Right.
No, he got his gym session.
Oh, he did in the end. Oh, sorry.
The other bloke didn't.
The
AI went in and cancelled someone else's in favour of his.
Yeah. So that person, harm was done to that other person.
Harm was done to someone else. Yes,
but would AI consider that harm? Would they just say, oh, it's just a gym session?
Yeah. Or like people that use ChatGPT as their like personal therapist or something. Suddenly, if you've implemented those rules, then that AI is going to be possibly less effective because they don't want to say anything that could possibly cause any harm to them, like emotional harm.
It's PC, woke politics gone.
You know, having them confront their childhood trauma might be like, might be necessary for them to get better, but they might be able to do it.
Can a robot understand the concept of tough love?
I mean, do you think there are industries where it is too risky to utilize AI in case it does go wrong? Like,
I mean, I'd say war.
War, healthcare.
Mm.
Maybe those.
Education, maybe, as well, because with the hallucination problem and anything else.
Basically, anything.
Yeah,
basically anything.
I guess, anything in life that you wouldn't want an inexpert, untrained doofus to be responsible. That AI shouldn't be in charge of that, because AI, as we know, it's the kind of definition of AI is that it learns itself, and the repeated pattern we've noticed so far is that the AI just does what so many people do today: harvests the internet for information, doesn't check its sources, and comes up with rubbish and terrible decision making. Because they were using it in the war in Iran, aren't they? To select targets, and then turned out that a whole bunch of the targets the AI selected had nothing to do with anything. And hence, those schoolgirls got killed, which is awful. So, I'd say, okay, better question.
Yeah.
Take your question, Martin, and reverse it. What field of life would you be happy for AI to take total control over?
Total control.
I mean, obviously, there are use cases, aren't there? Isolated use cases that are incredibly useful.
Mm-hmm.
Boring work perspective, like automating some admin tasks, right?
Mm.
Stuff like that is just efficiencies. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's so many great things that can be done with it. But it's just about, okay, well, if these issues, to put it mildly, are actually real and are happening, is it too dangerous to utilize it in sensitive fields? That's I think the answer is inevitably yes.
But you don't know which ones.
Well, I definitely know which one's not, which is the most sensitive. Like, anything that's for defense or security or war or arms or healthcare. Yeah, education's probably, it's probably borderline. I mean, I imagine there are good uses, but it has to still be regulated. Yeah. You're right, though. I mean, one of the things I saw, it was a drummer being interviewed. It doesn't matter that he was a drummer. But he was basically answering questions about himself using AI.
What?
So they're asking questions. So the interviewer was asking questions, but then they're putting them through AI, and then he was then answering them. So whether the AI was getting them right or not. But it was some of them were like technical drumming questions. Like, does this drummer, what are the signature stuff that he does? And it was just getting it completely wrong. I had no idea.
It's really bad at that kind of thing. Like picking up on, like if you ask them what happened in a TV show episode, the hallucinations are really bad. Like just making up plot just lines and things.
But it makes it up, and then you go, oh, that's not right. And it goes, oh yeah, sorry. Actually, it's this. That's still not right. And you can keep on digging until it's just like, and just like, just because it always has to give you a positive output, doesn't it?
Yeah,
it's also limited. This will eventually, obviously, probably not apply. But at the moment, it's so limited by the internet. Because just the other day, I had an AI encounter with. I was looking up. This is Google Gemini, and I was trying to find out the story behind Saladin. You may have heard of him, the Muslim leader who conquered Jerusalem from the Crusaders, and most famously portrayed in Kingdom of Heaven by Ridley Scott, and. Anyway, Saladin was so afraid of assassinations that he had a tent built on stilts, because it's hard to sneak into a tent if it's on stilts. So
how does he get into it?
Well, by a ladder.
And then they just pull the ladder out, and he pulls it up a bit safer. Nice.
Yeah, there you go. Well, that's the thing. I was trying to find out a bit more about this. How does this work? So I just did a quick Google. It's like there must be some book that talks about this, and Google Gemini, which I normally just ignore. But it came up with its response and said, there's no such thing as a tent on stilts. And Saladin was not involved with a tent, and he never lived in a tent. It kept saying all the stuff. I was like, pretty sure he did, because I just spoke to a historian about it. A real person who did real research. So, and of course, tents on stilts do exist. But yeah, that's an example of the kind of hallucination where it's not because it's got the wrong information, but on the internet, it can't find that information, so it's decided it doesn't exist. It's not a thing. So imagine if there was no pictures or articles or anything about the moon on the internet, and you said, "What's the moon?" And Google Gemini was just like, "There is no moon." And you're like, "Okay, well that's obviously wrong." So that's a limitation anyway of current AI. But so lads, to bring this conversation to a conclusion, what's the verdict? Are you afraid, particularly of this latest development with AI? Has it reached its singularity, or are you not worried and you think it's all going to be fine?
I think I'm leaning more towards the cynical angle of, I kind of feel like this is just tech CEOs weirdly bragging about how incompetent their AI is, or like not incompetent, but like how they're incompetent at not having control over their AIs, but framing it in like, look how dangerous and look how downright cool and dangerous my AI is. It could hack the Pentagon just like for no reason any day now.
Keeps relevancy, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I'm kind of leaning more towards that, but I don't know if that's just out of hope at this point. I hope that's what it is, and it's not. You have to believe that there's the people in charge have it somewhat under control, but they definitely don't, do they?
I think you're right. I think there is elements of it being a bit of a contest, show ponies, but I do think that these issues are increasingly cropping up. And even if you just look at the quite incredible, for good or for bad, the incredible things that AI can do, the outputs it can provide, this is only going one way. I think that's probably quite clear, and it's happening quite rapidly. But I do think there's the opportunity to put increasing safeguards in place and to prevent the widespread adoption until certain AI tools are actually available. So I think there's opportunities to actually to halt this, but it is a bit of an arms race, isn't it, at the same time of, you know, look at the capabilities, and that's where the danger is, because it's ultimately the more advanced they can say the AI is, even if it's dangerous, the more investment, the more amazed people are, the more money they can, it's because it is ultimately an arms race, isn't it, to become the dominant force in the world of AI. And so they would do whatever it takes, even if it means kind of overstepping.
I remember a decade ago, the kind of conversation around AI was so much more skeptical, in terms of, and we should be very, very careful going down this road. But it just feels like the brakes have fallen off the train. No tech CEOs are talking about like safeguards that they're putting in place, or like they're just like race to the bottom, race to the.
What about you, Robin?
As usual, I'm between the two of you. I think you're both right that the news headlines might be dominated by a bit of braggadocio marketing guff, but at the same time, it seems to be going in this inevitable direction with the brakes off, like you say. We need governments to step in and say, force these companies to put in these safeguards and basically stop AI from being AI, really. Or rather, keep AI narrow and limited, which it has been up to this point, and stop this silly pursuit of general artificial intelligence, because it can't do good. Ultimately, it won't help humanity. And I think it's better to, the Luddite in me says, it's better to sacrifice the potential for some really awesome stuff that will help some people and screw over loads of others and potentially trigger an apocalyptic avalanche. It's better to give up that opportunity and really focus and say, AI is good for these things and these things only. Would be my humble opinion. But ultimately, I'd say give it to the experts. There are philosophers and tech experts who've spent many years thinking about this, and scientists and even authors who've spent many years thinking about this, and they should convene some kind of council of wise people to agree upon a set of rules. Yeah, basically, yeah, Jedi Council.
They're talking about Anakin here. And Anakin is the AI.
Anakin's here.
Too much of a risk.
Yeah, I think governments need to step in, but they're not going to anytime soon. They just never do. And on that note, fellas, let's hear from our audience, our lovely, lovely listeners and viewers on the YouTubes. Have you got any comments from the last 3 months? Has it been that long? 3 months that you'd like to respond to?
In today's world, planning ahead isn't always top of mind, but not having life insurance can leave families facing difficult financial uncertainty during already emotional times. In many cases, loved ones are left managing expenses, debts, or long-term obligations without a clear plan in place. Life insurance is one way to help provide financial security and support when it's needed most. That's where Ethos comes in. Ethos makes getting life insurance fast and easy, and it's 100% online. You can get a quote within seconds, apply in minutes, and even get same-day coverage. There's no medical exam. You just answer a few simple health questions online, and coverage options are flexible with up to $3 million available and some policies starting at around $30 a month. Ethos has also earned strong customer feedback with a 4.9 out of 5-star rating on Trustpilot based on more than 5,500 reviews as of August 2026. Help protect your family with life insurance through Ethos. Get your instant quote today at ethos.com. That's ethos.com. Application times and rates may vary.
I've got one. Oh, go sorry. For go for it.
Good night, Alex. Please do.
It's been so long. We've just had loads of things going on in our lives at the moment. I've moved house again. So I don't remember the context of this comment, but I thought it was very funny. And I kind of want to hear your best impressions. So this is from the Lane Division, the Lane Davidson, who said, I want to see a Werner Herzog fake moon landing. And then they've written a line as Werner Herzog, we watch with a strange and uneasy amazement as the lunar module descends upon this desolate theater of dust. And you must avert your eyes from the geometry of the shadows and the apparent absence of stars.
That's so good.
That's go on, brilliant. Give us your best good. Ones.
I want to see that.
Your best Werners.
Reading that one. Reading that quote.
Oh, just anything. Oh, Werner, I love how he showed up in a cameo for Parks and Rec, and it was really funny. He's like, I want to move closer to Orlando so I can be closer to Disney World.
You do a really good Werner Herzog.
Yeah, I think yours is.
Oh, thank you.
Going to be the best.
You should read the eulogy at his funeral.
In his voice.
Yeah,
slightly inappropriate.
Just so insensitive, yeah.
His family is there crying. Oh, dear. I've got a comment from Swifty Horn. And this one says, Catholic Church accepts aliens exist and were one, if not the first, to actually have a scientific observatory and a dedicated team within the Vatican itself looking for life. It's not a secret. They openly say that they would welcome aliens as one of God's children too. Now, I think there's probably some legs in that for us to have a look at the Catholic Church and their view on aliens in an upcoming episode. I think that could be quite fun.
Yeah.
I imagine it's probably quite controversial if there's the open, the open acceptance of aliens existing. I think that sounds like there could be some legs in that. So I'm interested in diving a bit deeper. So thanks for the comment and potential suggestion there.
Yeah, that's a great suggestion. Thank you. Mine is, the comment I'd like to respond to is from Katie Todd 3965. It's a bit more just amusing. And she says, can't believe one of my favorite podcasts has gone to the manosphere. If you all get addicted to roids and elk meat, I'm out. Well, elk Katie, meat. Let's bear ourselves for Katie. Are we on roids and elk meat? Alex, I bet you are. You look like you are.
Every day, man. Every day.
Yeah. You look like an elk meat eater, Alex, I'm afraid. Yeah. Don't even know what that means.
I was trying to... Well, I don't even know what elk meat would...
I don't even know where saying. I would get elk meat from.
What is it? Like pretty lean. Isn't
what's
it? Is
what's
it Joe
the benefits
Rogan
of it?
Yeah. It's red, right? So really, really red. Red meat is good, right?
But it's also game, like gamey, so it would be quite lean.
Yeah, chewy.
Quite lean, yeah. But jerky kind of thing.
Would it be lean? Oh, yeah.
It's got like, it'll be it's always testosterone, isn't it? It's got like naturally releasing testosterone. You got to eat it every day, man. Up those testosterone levels.
Have it for breakfast, lunch,
do we even
and
get elk here in the UK? We don't get elk,
I don't think so. I haven't seen elk.
Elk in the
elk
UK.
Elk meat, anyway.
You got to ship it in. I'll give you my referral code, which is get 20% off at elkmeat.com.
I once had ostrich burger. You had ostrich meat either?
Yeah. They often pop up as like some festivals. And like,
It was like a like market stalls thing. Yeah. It was terrible. It was like the worst thing I ever had. I was like, why would you eat this? What's the point? Leave the ostrich alone. Taste
I had a horse
rubbish.
Burger in Iceland.
Horse burger?
Yeah.
Ooh, how does that taste?
It's like a burger, like a cheap burger. Yeah.
So you went to McDonald's, you mean?
because I think it, cows don't really, because of the you know, the, was it topography? Mm-hmm. The land, you know, it being all volcanic, they do
I
so
see.
Well.
Yeah. Right.
So it's, they import it, but it's more expensive. So get a burger, it's, you know. It's a little bit of a Findus horse meat scandal. If everyone remembers that.
Yeah.
Without the scandals, it's going open. Not even a secret. It's just
it's
is.
Horse burger. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. How many burgers from a horse?
Well, you get a few, wouldn't you?
Yeah. I hope so.
Yeah. You ask at the side of the track at the Grand National. How many burgers did I get from that one?
Oh, there's going to be someone though. there's definitely going to be someone from the industry, like, because they always, like, the losers, right, get picked off, right? That's what happens at the Grand National. Yes.
That's how it works.
If you come top five, go on to the next race. Everyone else gets turned into burgers. Sometimes the jockeys get thrown in the mix too because they're so small they don't notice them. Did you hear something? No, just put it in the grinder. Anyway, some of the greenest jockeys. Right. Well, thank you all for joining us again for this surprisingly late, but I hope you enjoyed it. I loved it. Episode of the Just Interesting podcast. Please tell us your thoughts on AI, and in particular this latest news, but in general, where we're headed with AI. Whether you're worried, whether you're not worried, whether you think it's all overblown, and whether the bubble's going to burst and when. Let us know, please, either in the comments below on YouTube or by sending us a message on Patreon or contact justinteresting@gmail.com. Love to hear from you. Thank you.
Yeah. Awesome. Thanks so much, guys.
Bye.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.